And thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he has given thee. So when you've eaten a good meal, yum, yum, yum. God's taught us his word that we should bless him. We should bless God. A lot of times we think about praying before we eat, and that's good. Well, also we should bless God after we've eaten. And we say, oh, that was good. Thank you, Lord. You know, we can pray before we eat. We can pray after we eat. Notice this very interesting word in here. These words that say, bless God. Bless the Lord. That we should bless the Lord. Last week we talked about God blessing us. We like that. We like Christmas. We like getting presents. We like birthdays. When we get presents. We just like presents. We like surprises. How about us surprising God? How about us blessing God? Wait a minute. Never thought of that one. That's different. This verse is talking about that. That we should bless God as well. Let's take a minute and talk about that. It is a two-way street. So God blesses us. We know that. The full stomach is that blessing he's talking about here in this verse. And we're to bless him as well. Last week when I was talking about that particular blessing, having the full stomach, I was talking about Gretchen's blueberry pecan crumble cake. All right? Blueberry pecan crumble cake. Get a recipe from her. Maybe she was on top of her head. I don't know. That was a blessing. And my response to that, and I shared with you last week, those that were here, I couldn't think of anything to say except the only thing that would come out, I was so amazed at how good this was, I just asked her to marry me again, even though we're already married. And she said yes, which was good. But it was just an automatic thing that came out. I don't know what else to say. It was so good. I was so amazed at how warm and how delicious it was, but also to praise God for that. You know why? Because he put taste buds on my tongue. Anybody got a tongue this morning? There you go. Stick your tongue out your pasture. That's good. One time you can do it. There you go. He's put, and Jaden's tongue back there, you can see part of his tongue's got certain sensors for saltiness and for sugar, sweetness, and sour. And God has put that on your tongue for a reason. So life is actually full, and you could have joy in your life. You could actually enjoy that raspberry pecan crumble cake and say, wow, this is fantastic. And bless the one that made it, and bless God, too, provides all those ingredients. So, yeah, we're to bless God. We're to, not only to thank him. I think when after we're done eating, we could thank him even more heartily than we do before, because we're just thinking about dinner. Hurry up and pray. Hurry up, get that prayer over with. I'm going to stuff my face. And then afterwards, you're like, hey, thank you, Lord. That was awesome. So maybe even sometimes afterwards, it can be more meaningful. It's almost automatic for me sometimes, especially when it's something that is so pleasing. I even thought about the people that brought the blueberries to us. Dick and Kim Anthony, from some friends that we have up from the North Country, stops down on their Harley Davidson motorcycle and dropped off some frozen blueberries to us from their garden. We gave them some squash, and you know, I was even thinking of them, blessing them. So we're to be a thankful people. And that blesses God when we're thanking him and we're thankful and grateful for the things that are coming our way. The Hebrew word, I'm glad we're going to get some Hebrew word, some Hebrew education here. Everybody ready for that? Anybody know what Hebrew is? It's another language, Chinese, Spanish, and French. Well, Hebrew, the Bible was written in Hebrew. Here's a word for you that you can learn today in Hebrew. Somebody asks you, do you know how to say Hebrew? You could say, yeah, I know Hebrew. Here's a word, barak. That means to bless. Everybody's looking at me funny. No, that's the name of my president. You're right. The name of your president is Barack. Barack Obama. His name is Blessing. His actual name means blessing. And that's a Hebrew word. It's derived from that. Whether you like him or not, that's just that is his name. We're not going to get into any of that. But that's his name, just so you remember it. Barak means blessing. As you look into its definition, one of the meanings of this word, blessing, or to bless, is to kneel down, or to make to kneel. And that's exactly what I feel like. I'm so amazed at how good that thing is, how good that cake was, that I'm just like kneeling down inside, and I'm just like in a place of thanksgiving and praise.
You know, it's I could feel that happening inside of me. It's cool when that word really applies and you know what it's talking about. So, moral of the story, let's not only pray quick before we eat, let's thank God after as well. You know, when a bee sees the colors and the symmetry and beauty of a flower, it's beautiful, round shape, symmetry, it's perfect. It's drawn to it and it finds nectar there. You know what honey is? Anybody like peanut butter honey sandwiches? Or like honey on their oatmeal? Anybody here? Mm-hmm. Nobody likes honey around here?
I love it.
I do. Just one?
It's good for natural for cough suppressant.
For coughs?
Yeah.
All right.
Natural cough suppressant.
Okay, praise the Lord for that. Somebody actually likes to eat it? Oh my goodness, I thought it was the best thing in the world. I got to find another analogy now. I'm stuck. All right, I'm just going to go with it. Gretchen, you're the only one who's going to understand this.
It is the best thing in
the world. Gee, a little bit. For that blessing, the provision of God, that flower and the nectar, the bee will return and make honey. In return for that. The bee will make honey. You know what honey is? It's concentrated nectar from flowers. That's all it is. Did you know that? Mm-hmm. There's nectar inside the flower. The bee takes that nectar back to the hive and he fans it with his wings. Can you believe that? Trip after trip, one teaspoon of honey is thousands of trips that bee will make with nectar and fanning in his hive. Fanning to evaporate the water off the nectar and concentrate it down into that sweet, wonderful stuff that Gretchen loves. Honey. When I take that honey from the bee, again, I see the provision and handiwork of God. And I say, thank you, Jesus. All right, so the bee brings glory to God by making honey, not even aware of its creator, but I am specifically aware of my creator by name. And that's the privilege you and me have, greater than the bee and greater than the buffalo. We know God personally by name. We've been given a great privilege. The words of my mouth become honey and blessing unto God. I give thanks to Him and praise. That's really sweet, isn't it? We need to know this. This is also the key to our kingdom life. Our life in the kingdom of God. What if the flower, I don't see one out here. What if the flower decided not to radiate its beauty? I'm just not going today. I feel crummy. With a flower doing that, just drop all its petals. That's not very good. What if every flower is like that? You go to these gardens they have and every flower is like, ugh. Oh, petals are down there. Ugh. It's not doing what God created to do, is it? What if the bee said, this doesn't look very good. I'm gonna stay back in the hive and watch TV. There's a good bee movie on. The same could be said for you and me if we're not thankful, grateful, filled with joy and praise unto the Lord. For His provisions, for that little taste bud that senses that sweetness or that saltiness. God put it there that we would enjoy something and give Him praise. Isn't that cool? When we're not doing that, we're like a flower that's wilted over, the bee that's lazy back in the hive. We need to be praying and praising God and joyful. That's kingdom life, man. That's wonderful living. That's what we've been designed to do. That's why you're here. Not to muddle and trudge your way through life. To give praise and thanks and worship to your Creator. To know Him specifically by name and praise Him. What a high honor we've been given. How can we become, what can happen in our lives that we become that wilted flower all bent over? Verses 11 and 4 through 14 talk about that. Gives us a warning. Beware. Beware is a warning, isn't it? You see, beware, that's like, oh, better check that out. That thou doesn't forget the Lord thy God. There's a warning. Don't forget the Lord your God. Don't forget that God created you. He's there. He cares about you and loves you. Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes, which I command this day, lest when thou hast eaten and art full, and hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied. Listen to this. Here's the beware. Then thy heart be lifted up. That's not good. That's talking about pride. Somebody's that snooty, you know? You know what I'm talking about? Somebody's like, talking to you. Pride. That's what it's talking about here, about somebody's heart being lifted up. It's not a good kind of heart being lifted up. It's a bad one where they're forgotten about God. Lest thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee out from the land of Egypt and from the house of bondage. God has delivered us from sin, just like Israel in the story. He's brought them out of a place of slavery. We've been delivered from sin. It's a type of slavery, being in bondage, being in chains to things. He's delivered us. He's made us free. So the warning is that we can forget about God. We can be like the lazy bee in the hive or the flower that's drooped over. We can forget about why we're here and why He created us. How can that happen? Number one, we're shown in these verses, when we take for granted the blessings that are all around us every day. There's an old hymn from Johnson Oatman. Everybody knows that guy, right? From 1897. That's an old, old, old hymn. It's interesting, I love it, to look back at these people that lived way back, way back, way back, and hear the same things, the cries of their heart, and the things they talked about. And it's like, man, they're the same as we were. Even though they're going around with knickers, funny hats on, it's like, what are you wearing that stuff for? Like, you know, the pilgrims, all the stuff they wear. Would you wear something like that walking around? It's like, these people are weird. But at the same time, I looked at what they wrote at that time in their journals and their diary, the words that they wrote, the songs that they wrote, like Johnson wrote here. And I said, yeah, they had the same Savior I did. They're no different. Just because they look different with their clothes, they had the same issues I have. They had the same need for a Savior. They had the same need for Jesus. Listen to the song that he wrote. When upon life's billows you are temp-tossed, when you are discouraged, thinking all is lost, count your many blessings. Name them one by one. And it will surprise you what the Lord has done. Start counting the things and that the blessings of God has put in your life. It'll surprise you. You might be like, there's nothing. Everything's bad happening to me. Wait a minute. Take a minute and start looking for it. Start praying and looking for it. Have God open your eyes to those blessings. And then one by one, you'll know what the Lord has done. Count your blessings. Name them one by one. Count your blessings. See what God has done. Count your blessings. Name them one by one. Johnson would say in his song, long time ago. There's more to the song. You could look that up. A second thing brought out here that we should be warned about. Watch out for this. That we turn into that flower that's drooped over, or that bee that's lazy in the hive, is that when we become full and satisfied, and we have all these things in our life, and we have no need for anything, that we forget about God. That's another warning, is when those blessings do come, that we don't forget about God. There's a good reason, like when we have a dish to pass, which we like to do mostly in the colder months especially, is that we do it after church. After church service, after the sermon, after the teaching. For good reason, because people are full. And then they drift away, right? They forget about why they're there. They're just full and happy and content. And they zone off. And we've had those experiences before. So we learn some things. Third reason mentioned in these few verses here that we just read, that we're to be warned about, is that our heart being lifted up, that pride that I talked about, that snootiness. The very thing God was working out of them in the desert of these 40 years had to be drawn out of them. This pride was inside of their heart. Before we have a new life with God, the old one has to die. It has to be crucified with Christ. That's part of our salvation process. The old nature is died, is crucified with Christ. It's not like, you know what, I need a little bit of God in my life. I've heard people say that to me before. And you know, I need a little something in my life. A little something. It's not about that. It's about a complete revolution in your life. It's about being crucified with Him. And then raised with Him from the dead. That's what salvation is about. So we can be prideful. And the cure for pride is the cross. We need to be completely crucified and raised with Him. We do that by faith. We do that by believing that we've been crucified with Him. And God will honor that belief. He will cause a rebirth inside of us, a new life. Pride is, of course, a kingdom of about me. This is what we all struggle with. Me included. Everyone here will struggle with this thing. The kingdom of me. That's what pride speaks of. This is how we will forget about God. We will get prideful when we live in a kingdom of me. When our life becomes about gaining things. Give me this, give me that. Gaining wealth and independence and freedom to pursue our own desires. There's something more to life than the elation of delight of pleasing yourself. There's a spirit that God has given you, blessing God and having that relationship with Him. Some things are temporary in this life and they are blessings. Some things are everlasting and that's what we should pursue primarily. When we eat ice cream, it's a temporary pleasure. That stuff is good. When we love God and bless Him for that ice cream that we've been given, there's something that is lasting about that. There's something that lasts longer than the ice cream cone is gone and we just have sticky fingers and we bless and praise God and thank Him and love Him. There's something that lasts longer than that ice cream. Is that blessing and praise in that heart that's tuned to God. There's something that lasts longer than that ice cream. We need to have both working. To enjoy what God has given us and to give Him thanks and praise. Verses 15 and 16, if you have a pen or highlighter, just those first two words highlighting both those verses, who led and who fed, kind of rhymes. Who led thee through that great and terrible wilderness, that desert place, wherein there were fiery serpents, scorpions, and drought, where there was no water, who brought thee forth water out of the rock of flint. Who fed thee in the wilderness with manna? Remember the bread from heaven that fell down there to collect every day? Which thy fathers knew not, that He might humble thee, that He might prove thee to do thee good at thy latter end. God's interest in you is to do good. Never forget that. Don't forget God and don't forget what He wants in your life, to do good. Some people don't believe that. They have a faith that believe that God is just to, He gets His jollies out of zapping me, burning my rear end. That's how God gets His jollies. It has nothing to do with the God who created you. That's a lie from hell. God desires, look at that in verse 16, you might highlight that as well, to do thee good, to do you good at thy latter end. Yeah, it might be a process that He's bringing you through right now. It doesn't seem pleasant. But He has the intention of, man, making a pearl out of this thing. So led and fed. That's a great place to be with God. Good thing to underline. You've heard the expression, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. What's up with that saying anyway? We're to be led and fed. This is part of our daily experience as a Christian, or it should be. I follow Him and I'm sustained by Him. He gives me strength. He gives me power for the day. Not only that, I'm to grow and mature in Him. There are things that I'll experience today that will carry over, that will be everlasting through my life. The things that are done for God. God describes those things as going from faith to faith. One day to the next. My life is a description of going from faith to faith. The thing that stuck out to me in these two verses that God led them in the desert and He fed them. God led and fed. Is the daily experience of it. Every day, bread would fall from heaven. Can you imagine doing that? You're standing out for the, waiting for the school bus or whatever, and a Pop-Tart hits you on the head. You know, God dropping something from the sky to feed the people in the desert. That really happened here to the people of Israel. Every single day, except the Sabbath. And he would provide double the day before. The thing that sticks out to me most in this is it's a daily experience for us. It was a daily experience for them. And it's a daily experience for us to walk with God. We sang that. Where is it? Somehow you always pick the right songs. Every day. It was the first song that you sang. Every day. Every day. See who I live for. Every day I'll follow after you. I'll walk with you, Lord. Every day, every day, every day, every day. That's what's repeating in that song. And that's what's standing out to me here. It's an everyday experience. We need to talk about this because there's something very important here. It's not an experience they had that was once in a while where a miracle fell here and there and then it was a long dry period. Every day they experienced God. Everyone, every day, experienced God. Our God is into today more than he is into yesterday. More than he is into tomorrow. He's into right now. He's into today. Do you really understand that? And do you believe that? We struggle with this. That's why it's important to stop here and look at that. God's provision, his leading, was a daily experience. We struggle with that because we live either in the past or we're living in the future. And we're called to live in the present, primarily. Our struggle is that we're on either extreme. Quite often, we're not experiencing what God would have for us that day. The manna kind of flies by us. The things we need each and every day, we need to be led, and we need to be fed, right? We need to be led. We need to have to make decisions that day, small ones and big ones. Small ones and big ones. We're going to make decisions. We need to be fed, not just physically, that's important, but also love and truth. Each one of us needs to be loved. And we need truth as well for our soul so we can grow. We can tend to be more yesterday or tomorrow oriented. You've heard the expression TGIF, right? How about TGFT? Thank God for today. Let's start doing that. I have a fellow at work. It's just an on fire guy, and he just started there a few months ago, and he's got like a really explosive personality in a good way, just has a lot of joy. And our receptionist would usually, for years and years, would announce in the morning, it's 8 o'clock, the support lines are open, it's 8 o'clock, the support lines are open. And this fellow couldn't have any of that anymore. This guy is like, today's awesome, isn't it? I mean, he's super positive to the degree you're like, well, that's too much. But at the same time, you gotta kind of like be moved a little bit. He got somehow or another, I was so amazed because this lady would never take risk or do anything different, that he convinced her to say, good morning, everyone. It's a marvelous Monday. The support lines are on. So that's what we have going on at work right now. And it's from this one believer that just started. Actually, he was working with Tony for a few months, and he's moved into a different department. But he has that excitement. He's thankful for today. Thank God for today. Not for Friday. Let's not live for that, for the weekend. Or some event that's coming up, right? We can be event-oriented. You know, life isn't going to begin until Sunday when this gathering happens, or the football game party that I'm having, the concert, the holiday, or even some event that we're looking to, you know, when the kids finally leave the house. I hope that's not your feeling. Or this person comes back into my life, or this person gets out of my life. You know, that's a future type oriented thing. We could be missing what God has for us that day, that manna, that provision, that leading, that feeding that he has for us that very day, this day. Can happen at church. Sure can and sure does. Once this person leaves the church, we can get going again. If the pastor is thinking that, by the way, then he's right. But he's the one that needs to leave. I hope you understand that. We're not in the business here of identifying sinners. Aha! I knew you were a jerk. Get out of here. We have an empty church because we're all in that state. We all have sinful flesh. We all have issues. Our business is to see those, that jerkiness, that quirkiness, get torn down brick by brick, and at the same time be built up in Christ. He's done it over and over. God has done it over and over. I have to believe it as a pastor. We have to believe it as a congregation that He will continue to do so if we allow Him and don't grieve the Spirit with our self-righteous pride. We pray for revival. That's good. But are we anticipating revival today? Or is it something far off? You know, when this aligns, we get a new building, or we have, all of a sudden we have money or this or whatever, you know, then revival will happen. Baloney! We need to pray for revival right now, right here, today. Thank God for today. If that's our mindset, if it's always out there that the good things are going to happen sometime out in the future and we're living for that day, you know what? It's going to be according to our faith. We're going to miss it every single day. And it always will be in front of us the same distance, never reaching it. Today, we sang it. Thank you for singing that song. Thank you, Lord. Let these words empower you to live for today. Psalm 118:24. This is the day that the Lord has made. Today. We will rejoice and be glad in it. We're blessing God. You know, today I'm going to bless God. Whether I get a raspberry pecan crumble cake or an apple strudel surprise, or what else you got coming? Come on, bring it on. Come. It's that time of year. Come on, bring it on. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. That's a decision of faith. Don't make that decision at 7 p.m. at night. Make that decision, make that statement of faith right when you get up in the morning, you look in that mirror and your hair's going in 10 different directions. This is the day that the Lord has made. You weird looking dude. My hair doesn't stick around, it's that short of. But I look weird in the morning anyway. I can say that. We will rejoice, I will rejoice and be glad. And say, Lord, I'm going to bless you today. When I taste something sweet, I taste something sour, I see a pretty flower, I'm going to bless you, Lord God. I'm going to thank you, Lord God. How about this? Let this word of God empower you to live for today. Psalm 95:7. For He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture, and the sheep of His hand. Today, if you will hear His voice. Boy, I can hear that. I can hear that today. I can hear that when I wake up in the morning. Will you, Paul, sit your rear end down for a few minutes and listen? Mindy had something in her blog, just she came out with her a blog entry I read the other day, said something about that. Will we give Him that time? Will we give that the time? She's talking about her own personal challenge too, to not let distractions and all these things, that not let that time be invaded. Will you hear His voice? Today, if you will hear His voice. Man, how many days have I missed it? I hate to think about that. I don't want to know. I want to be empowered, though, that He's speaking to me every day. And I believe that. How about this? Be empowered with this. Proverbs 22:19. So that your trust may be in the Lord, I have instructed you today, even you. Even you. That's everyone. Not some, you know, the important people. Yeah, He instructs them. Man, he's really working with... No, you. You. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you. I'm pointing fingers. That's not quite pointing fingers. I'm pointing fingers right now because it's you that God has instructed you today. He has a purpose and plan for you today. Do I believe that God is more interested in today than some future event? This is a challenge today. You're going to walk out here with that challenge sitting on your shoulder. Little challenge like they're talking to you. Hey, do you believe that God is more interested in today than some future event? How about God? himself. Do you think that God's waiting for the second coming, that revelation is all he's waiting for, and he's just like passing time up in heaven watching our TV, watching the heaven TV channel, whatever that is? No. No, he's not passing time until the big show either. He is about today. He told us to prepare, watch, and be ready, but also to occupy. That's talking about today. To make every day meaningful, to max it out today for God. Wring every drop of heaven out of each and every day. Everything you've got for me today, Lord, I don't want to miss a drop of it. We have a direct order from headquarters about this. In Matthew 6:34, this was the last verse I want to talk about regarding this. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. The things, the challenges that you have today, things that you will face today, the giants that are in front of you, that's what you need to focus on. We need to put that up on our wall. Maybe you have a picture with a sunrise on it that says, don't worry about tomorrow. Today, God has called you. Today's the day that the Lord has made. Better yet, put it on your heart. Take with it wherever you go. Have victory today. Today, with his strength, I'm not going to be led into temptation. Sounds like our motto prayer. Give us this day our daily bread. Lead us not into temptation. Today, with his strength, I am not going to be led into temptation. I'll be led by God, led and fed. I will have victory over sin by his blood that was shed for me. Today, I'm going to get into his word. I'm going to have time with him. I'm not going to miss that instruction he has for me. I'm going to walk in new life that he's given me. I'm going to see through the new eyes beyond what my normal eyes could ever see. I will hear with the new ears that he's given me and listening for that still small voice that is always speaking to me. I will think with a renewed mind today, thoughts that are true, thoughts that are lovely, thoughts that are praiseworthy and of good report. I will think with a renewed mind today. Not when things get better. Not when this person leaves my life or this person comes into my life. Not when the birthday party comes or Christmas comes. Today, I'm going to think with a renewed mind, thoughts that are true, praiseworthy, and of a good report. I'm going to be like this new dude at work. It's a marvelous Monday. It's a terrific Tuesday. It's a wonderful Wednesday. I don't know what he says on Thursday. I can't remember, but I know Friday is fabulous. I'm going to have that attitude today without being overly obnoxious. You do understand that's what God has called us to do. To have a renewed mind, to think on things that are true and lovely and praiseworthy and good report. That blesses God. That's an everlasting thing that lasts more than a raspberry crumble cake, than ice cream and everything else. When you have a relationship with God, you have something that is strong and lasting in your life. All right, we're going to bring this plane in for a landing right here. Didn't get through too many verses, but good point today. We have a few more minutes. We want to wrap it up just on that point about today. Blessing God today, seizing this day and wringing it out for everything it has. You have a question?
Yeah, like the old saying goes, yesterday was history, tomorrow's a mystery, today's a gift, that's why they call it a present.
Amen. There you go. Today is a gift.
Tell me all the time when I was little.
Yeah, that's true. For Israel, this feeding and this leading, this daily experience was actually literally a cloud during the day that would cover them and a pillar of fire at night. God is light for us. His word brings that light. We have that same covering of Jesus Christ. We have that same daily experience that these people did, but even in a more powerful sense. Sometimes we think, and I've caught myself thinking this, I've heard other people say it, That's all it would take to make me a strong follower of God. Man, I would crawl in my underwear across town. If I would just see all these miracles, like this pillar of fire, I would be on the track and never look back, man. Not so. Jesus said something to a disciple that had that same issue. He had to see the miracle. He had to touch it with his hands. And that was Thomas. And he responded to Thomas in John chapter 20, verse 29. Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are those that have not seen, yet have believed. My encouragement for you today, about today, is to allow your faith to develop and go from faith to faith, not from experience to experience. When you're looking at experiences, you're hoping for things to happen tomorrow, some type of event or experience to happen with God. We need to grow in God in a solid way, to be feeding on His Word, to be reading the Bible, go through a whole book of the Bible. Then do another book. Do a chapter from Proverbs every day. Allow your faith to develop. Faith comes from hearing the Word of God. We go from faith to faith, not from experience to experience. We go from faith to faith, not from experience to experience. It's when your walk is every day that we will not drift, and we will take heed to this warning that we're being told, and we will not forget about God. We won't have this forgetfulness that are spoken here in these verses. Praise the Lord. Maybe some things have moved in your heart as we were talking about these truths from Scripture. What's sticking out in your mind right now that maybe needs to be addressed? Let's bring that before the Lord together. Lord, your word doesn't not only convince us or convict us that we need change in our life, but it also empowers us to change. Your Holy Spirit will bring us to that place of victory in these areas that we know have to change and need to change right now. We believe by the power of your blood that was shed on the cross, we are your children, and we have no other rights to claim that other than what you did on the cross. I believe I'm a new creature. My eyes are new. My ears are new. My thoughts are new because you've put a new spirit in me. That opportunity is for everyone here right now to be a new creature. All things past, all the old is past and gone. Everything becomes new. Reach out and ask for Jesus Christ to touch you completely and wholly today. It's not about putting Jesus in your pocket. It's about being crucified with him on the cross. Say yes to that right now. Lord, I am crucified with you on the cross, every part of me. Every part of my selfishness, my brattiness, my disobedience to parents, everything that I've done, Lord, I just give it over to you. I want to be a new creature in you. I believe you saved me on the cross. Change me now, Lord, from the inside out. I pray your blessing over everyone here today, Lord, including myself, Lord, that we'd go forward in strength and power. We would have the light of the gospel all around us, Lord. We'd have that attractiveness of your joy, and we would live for today. We'd wring out every drop from each and every day, and not anything would escape from us, Lord, that you would have us to walk in. People that are dealing with physical issues today, Lord, I pray your blessing over them. Strengthen them, Lord. Heal them. Bring healing to this body, Lord, as well. Make us a strong church. Everything you died for, that would come short of no gift. Start revival today, Lord. Right here, right now, we pray, Lord Jesus, in your name. Amen.